Hello, beloveds. We are well into the season of Lent now, but I want to head back to the beginning just for a minute and talk about Ash Wednesday today. It's always a unique and interesting experience, Ash Wednesday, as a pastor, to mark the foreheads of our people with ashen crosses and speak the words, "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return," over them, one after another in a long line, until my fingers are covered in the stuff. At this year's service, I noticed once again the way I felt as people looked me in the eye while I was reminding them that their one wild and precious life would end. That ache I felt in me as I spoke those words to children whose lives are just starting, to people who likely won't be alive by next year's Ash Wednesday service, to people whose loved ones have recently died. I suspect that some, more than others, have faced and acknowledged the inevitability of their end, but because we are a death-phobic society, often worry that my words are springing some like horrible surprise on people who haven't heard it before, or who are desperately trying to avoid death or pretend it doesn't come for us all. Sometimes it feels like a pastor's role on Ash Wednesday is to stand up and break hearts that are about 12 inches below the faces smiling up at us while we do so. After worship this year, I had a conversation with a colleague and a friend who serves as a death doula, asking how she experienced the service. I mentioned to her that it's always hard after worship when I'm walking around with the stuff of death in my fingernails. And she smiled and said, "Well, the stuff of death and life. Ashes provide both, don't they?" Sat with that for a bit, and then I shared that she did not seem quite as somber as the others in worship, and I wrongly perceived that because of her work, she was just like super comfortable and best buddies with death. Haha. More on that later. What she did start by saying, though, is that she does love the idea that Ash Wednesday is our memento mori. "Our what?" I asked. "Memento mori," she said. "A Latin phrase meaning, remember you must die." She knows the importance of being frequently honest about our mortality with ourselves. That's called mortality salience, she said. And she loves that it's built into our liturgy at least once a year, twice if you count All Saints' Day. Acknowledging the inevitability of our death actually frees us up in a few surprising ways once we can get over the shock. And I began to unpack a little bit of that in our conversation together, and so thought that I would share that here. When we avoid death at all costs, or treat it like the enemy, it's easy to begin to see death as the ultimate human failure. If we're always running from it, then when it finally catches up to us at any age, we often use language which centers around losing. Death is not a punishment or a failure for being human. It's simply part of being alive. I mean, it's not just humans that die, after all, right? Death is guaranteed. And though it feels so very unnatural, and we talk about it as if it is, it's quite the opposite. I also think that when we treat death as failure, it gets linked to shame and badness. This can especially happen in the words we hear on Ash Wednesday. As soon as we start talking about our sinfulness, it's a really easy skip and a jump to say that we're just all evil at our core, and we all deserve sorrow. And, of course, some Christians do believe that. It's the idea behind original sin, a premise that we are broken just by our existence, but thankfully God is willing to love our awful selves anyway. I see how people get there from Scripture. I really do. I know plenty of pastors in my own denomination that agree with it, so I'm not going to say that it's wrong, and it's absolutely up to each person's interpretation and faith. But personally, I just can't get behind that theology. I think that when Genesis said that God made us in God's own image and declared us good, that no sin could possibly change our makeup, our God-infused DNA. We are sinners. We make sinful choices again and again. We even do and say things that don't stem from God, but rather stem from evil. And still, I think deep down at our core, God sees us as good. God made us from the dirt and the dust, and like a farmer or gardener is cheering us on, nurturing us, spurring us on to grow in certain ways, certain directions, to be the healthiest plant possible. God's love for us is always moving us toward that good inside, trying to bring more and more of it out of us for the sake of love and for the sake of the kingdom. When we are fully aware that this life is limited and that God loves us and cares, we can live into the truth that our joy, our grief, our hopes, our work, our love, our community, all of it matters. It's not insignificant, even in the short time we're here. And so rather than spending our time running from the end, we can truly live this life. We can live it alongside Jesus. We can live it in love and joy and peace. We can live it out for others. We can live it with justice. We can live it most fully and know that no matter how much we mess up along the way, and we will, God is not chasing us with the threat of death. God is helping us live the best we can until death comes. And if we take away the sting of punishment from death, even that end can be a comforting thought, that we return to God's precious dirt and dust, held close in God's care. Death will be a returning to a womb, returning to arms of comfort, returning to the love from which we came and which is always flowing around within and through us. But that also brings me back to my poor perception that my friend, who regularly chooses to acknowledge death, was somehow just fine with its truth when I'm over here still struggling with its reality. Thankfully, she gently corrected me and said that mortality salience does not negate or bypass grief. We're still allowed to feel what we feel about it, about death. Grief is still hard and real and painful. Knowing that death is a natural part of it all doesn't change the heartache. But maybe it releases some of those other ideas about death as failure or punishment so that when we experience the death of a loved one or the sadness of our own impending death, we can just let grief be grief. No shame, no guilt, no fear, just grief. And the God of death and new life will be with us in that too. Because that's how God works. Ashes are both the stuff of death and the stuff of life. They are one and the same in a cycle that goes on and on in God's love. A few questions for you to use for a little reflection. Number one, how does the reminder of mortality during Ash Wednesday affect you emotionally? Number two, what do you think about the idea of humans being inherently good, even if flawed and sinful? Number three, how might your view of death impact the way you live? Number four, if you practice Lent, do you view this season as an opportunity for sorrow or as one for renewal and hope? Number five, where do you see the cycle of life and death happening in nature right now? Friends, may your Lenten journey be not a time of shame or despair, but a time of deep, life-giving renewal in God's love, an invitation to remember that we are dust, but we are also beloved, called to live fully and purposefully in the time that we have. Thanks be to God.